Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
During the time that she worked at the Educational Foundation, she had met Mr. Kane. On at least three occasions, during the NRA convention, Mr. Kane was seated next to her during dinners and a lunch.
You're listening to the voice of glorified AllMeds.
She had spent a substantial amount of time speaking with him there at the NRA.
Glorified AllMeds is now speaking with a smear campaign against poor Herman Kane.
At the suggestion
listening to the voice of glorified AllMeds, the most hated attorney in the United States of America.
She reached out to Mr. Kane for help in finding another job.
Why was she fired, glorified?
Help that she had hoped
for. Wait, stop. Glorified, why was she fired to begin with, glorified? Keep going. I'll ask her questions.
Stimulus package.
Glorified AllMeds, you are the reason America hates attorneys. You are the reason America is wrecked, in my opinion. But here we go again. I have watched a lot of things in my life. I've never seen anything like what they're doing to Herman Cain. So I have a question for you today in the Savage Nation. They wheel out a human bialy stucker. Now, a bialy, for those of you who don't know, is a soft piece of dough. It's strange to me how life imitates art. But here's this woman no one ever heard of and no one will ever remember, Sharon Bialik. And a bialy, for those of you who don't know, is a soft piece of dough. Sort of the opposite of a bagel, which is a hard piece of dough. They take out this human bialystok, and she says that Herman Cain did this, Herman Cain did that 12 years ago. So I have a question for you, the audience of the Savage Nation. Is it possible that the human bialy came on to Herman Cain, and he rejected her because he's a decent man? Is it possible that Herman Cain is the only man to have turned down oral sex from the human bialy? And is this why she still remembers his rejection? Remember, you got to remember this. Hell hath no fury like a homely woman scorned. Now, it could be that he is the only man in her entire life who turned down oral sex. And for this reason, she's waited 12 years to get even. I'm serious about it. Why should you believe her? Now, this is an interesting story in what I'm about to tell you. A Google search today by my producer for the name Sharon Bialik, that's the accuser. And it was done in the Google search, Sharon Bialik. It came back with the results. Sharon Bialik, the Cain accuser, and David Axelrod, who was Obama's brain. And a link to the website, freerepublic.com, was then broken. The result that came up said this thread has been pulled on 11-7-2011 at 1:09 p.m. by administrating moderator, reason misleading. Apparently, Sharon Bialik has lived and worked in Chicago for years. Do you believe it's possible that David Axelrod somehow unleashed this woman on the American public to attack Cain? And that leads us to this question. Why does Obama fear? What does he fear about Cain? I mean, I can pretty much tell you what Obama would fear about Herman Cain. Obama is everything that Herman Cain isn't. Obama is a pretender while Herman Cain is the real McCoy. Herman Cain is a really successful man who did it on his own, while Obama is the product of numerous things, the most important thing being a creation of the left-wing fanatics who want to take over and destroy America, in my opinion. Now, why would the media be obsessed with Herman Cain and get away with this as the thing? Why did they give Jesse Jackson a pass on his sexcapades when he was running for the presidency? Do you remember that? Why do they give Al Sharpton a pass with regard to Detective Pagonis and the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire? Why? Because the media is what the media is. I have never seen anything like this. In my entire life, I have never seen anything as low as today's press conference. I don't know how we can live as a nation if we live in a nation filled with such people. I can tell you this, glorified Olmeds is the reason, in my opinion, the legal profession is hated. Not solely Gloria Olmeds, but she typifies the worst amongst the legal profession. And I have to ask you, is there a profession you despise more than the legal profession, aside from TV commentators like Wolf Blitzer? What is your worst lawyer horror story? Have you seen anything lower than the TV presenters who are covering the Cain accuser case? Do you believe that the accuser may have come on to Herman Cain and he rejected her? Is it possible that Herman Cain rejected her and that she never forgot it? Who do you believe more, her or him? Why has the media refused to pursue accusations against Jesse Jackson with the same vigor as those against Herman Cain? Why is the media ignoring all of the charges against Obama, for example, as a bigger story? Let's say you think it's solved. Many people don't think it's solved. How about the issue of Obama and his birth certificate? You say, well, that's been resolved. It hasn't been resolved to the satisfaction of many people. Why has the media ignored that issue while they're pursuing the false allegations of sexual issues with regard to Herman Cain? See, what bothers me most about this is not that they found some human being, a walking piece of dough without a soul, to come up and say, he did this, he did that, he came on to me and I was shocked and I never forgot it. You believe that, Chaza? You believe a Chaza like that? That's the first time in a life a man ever asked for a thing like that? I mean, let's clear the air and talk like people. Can you believe a Chaza like that? That's the first time a man ever asked her for that, if that's true. What, she never, no one ever said it to her before or after? Her heart was broken by it. Her life was ruined. Are you kidding me? And the media takes this Chaza seriously? It's unbelievable to me. How can anyone hold a press conference in the Friars Club when glorified Olmeds comes out? How is it possible that we're living in a country that's debased like this? So I've seen a lot in my media career. I've never seen anything on this level, never. To see a left-wing lawyer like Gloria Olmeds from L.A. find a new liar to accuse Cain is amazing to me. For the accuser to claim he made a pass at her when she was trying to get a job after she had been fired from the National Restaurant Association. Now, why did they fire her? Did anyone ask the geniuses in the media why they fired her? Why would they fire the Chaza? What was she fired for in the 90s? What is the real motivation for her coming out right now? It's to destroy Herman Cain. Who is it who dug her up? So that leads me to you. How about Obama's past associations? How about Obama's social security number from one of the New England states? How come they haven't doggedly pursued her? How about the Lord of the Fries? How come they haven't pursued Michelle Obama, the Lord of the Fries, and her associations of the past? How about her raise at the university where she went from a hospital administrator making X and suddenly she made about five times more money? How come there's been no pursuit of that? The Lord of the Fries should be pursued. Or how about Obama running off to Bali again this week? Why is that not a story? How about some of the other scandals that are circulating around Obama that they never talk about? How is that? How is it possible? How is this possible? 1-800-449-8255. Now, what's interesting to me is that Gloria Olmeds, glorified Olmeds, came out and said that the human Bialy, the soulless piece of dough that came out today, is a lifetime Republican. Why would she say that? Why would we have to hear that? If that is true, it means the hits are coming from the Republican National Committee because they fear Cain as much as Obama does. Remember, Obama could never win in a debate with Cain for two reasons. One, Cain has nothing to hide, while Obama has everything to hide. Two, while Cain is a slow-speaking man, he actually makes sense to the average American about making government smaller, about making China pay more. You know, let's go down the list at another time. While Obama is selling the country out as a faster rate as he possibly can, why is he going to Bali again at a time like this? Bob in Pittsburgh, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your take on this?
Hey, it infuriates me that they're trying to take down Cain like this. I mean, after all the years of not going after Obama, where's Obama's old girlfriends? And what about some of those charges? And you know what they are about Obama when he was a youth and some of the things that, you know, he's alleged to have done in his, you know, sexual history. I mean,
correct. That is correct. That came up for a while and then it was quickly buried. Nobody ever pursued it. Why?
We're throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks on Herman Cain. It really infuriates. I hate the media. I can't stand the media. I mean, I hope they get cancer and die. That's how mad I am when I see this kind of stuff going on.
Right. You don't have to like Cain as a candidate to support Cain the human being for being ripped apart like this by the vermin. These are the lowest people on the planet, what we're seeing now. We are seeing the equivalent of something out of the Stalinist Russian years. I've never seen anything like it. And I got to say again, I personalize this because I have been the victim of a smear campaign by Media Matters and the other vermin, who if I had the power, I'd put them in prison and take their assets for what they've done to me and other people. But I don't have any power. All I have is my own audience and my own truth. And the fact is I'm not going to sit by and let them do this to Cain without fighting for him. I don't care whether he comes on the show or not. I have never seen a nation wallowing in pig you-know-what like they're doing with Cain. And to see these fraudulent white liberals, one after the other, like Wolf Blitzer, who allegedly is a human being, and the others who are allegedly human beings do this to a man and get away with it with impunity is amazing to me. Nobody calls them on the carpet. So I have outrage at this. You understand? I have outrage. It's sickening. What about Obama's scandals? What about Obama's birth certificate? Why do we never hear any of that? What about all of the others on the left who are given a pass by the vermin in the media? Something is wrong with this picture, and the wrong can only be made right by us talking about it, and that's why I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. There's another very important quotation today that I found that's very important for you to see, and it's from the chairman of the China Sovereign Fund. And you say, well, who is he? What's a sovereign fund? So go to michaelsavage.com with me, will you please? My headline is Discredited Media Whore Lawyer Finds New Liar from Chicago to Smear Cain. That's one man's opinion. But underneath it is a really big story. The head of China's sovereign wealth fund, that's an awful lot of money. This man must be some genius. He handles all of the money that China has that they invest. That's a sovereign wealth fund. He says Europe induces sloth and indolence, and they're not going to bail Europe out. The chairman of China's sovereign wealth fund remains skeptical about supporting a European bailout, and he gives a reason. The man handles $400 billion worth of China's money through the sovereign wealth fund. And he says unless Europe changes its labor laws and adjusts its welfare system, he does not consider it to be a profitable investment. Look where I have to go to get reason. I have to go to communist China to get a reasonable politician talking about sloth and indolence in America and Europe, a welfare system that is so out of control that only Barack Hussein Obama could administer it. I'll be right back.
He parked the car down the block. I thought that we were going to go into the offices so that he could show me around. But instead of going into the offices...
You're listening to the voice of a human, a piece of dough that has no soul.
Under my skirt and reached...
In the Jewish religion, there's a thing called a dibbuk. It's a creature without a soul that walks around the earth. Irish have one that's called a leprechaun. Every race and religion has... a soulless ghoul that is put on the earth and is has the appearance of being a human but isn't a human. Let's listen in as we listen to the human dough.
I asked him to take me back to my hotel, which he did right away. I really hoped for his sake that in his...
Yeah, right. You're doing it for the betterment of humanity. Okay, turn it off, would you please? Again, I have to ask the question. There's only one question. Is it possible that the human Bialy came on to Herman Cain and was rejected by him 12 years ago? And he is the only man to have turned down oral sex from this human Bialy. And this is why she still remembers his rejection. I'm asking the question. I don't know her, I don't know him, but why would a woman harbor this for 12 years, number one? Number two, why was she fired from the restaurant association prior to going to Cain for a job? Number three, where did glorified All Meds find her? Number four, is there a connection to Obama's handlers? Number five, why is Obama running to Bali at this time? Number six, seven, eight, and nine. Okay? This is really amazing. This whole thing is amazing to see the media getting away with this. Let's go to the callers. We go to New York City first because it's on the East Coast. It's my largest East Coast affiliate. You're all welcome to call from anywhere in America, even if you live in San Francisco. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Nick in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm calling because I just think Herman Cain, at this point, he needs to step down because the left is winning, because the left is now controlling the conversation. You know,
so, in other words, even if he's innocent, he should quit because you said so.
No. But they're controlling the conversation. We're not. There's so many more.
So, by the same token, I should quit radio because they smeared me?
No, not at all.
What do you mean, no? They said things about me that are untrue. Britain was in cahoots with them, and they banned me from entering England. I didn't quit. I've written one best-selling book after another since then. Why should Herman Cain quit because someone smears him?
But we're talking about, what about Cylinder? What about the Fast and the Furious? What about Libya and Iran? We're not talking about
it. Well, you're right. That's right. So why don't the vermin in the media go after Obama on Cylinder? Why is he running to Bali? There's your answer.
But if Cain steps down, that it'll leave a vacuum for us to talk about.
No, it will not. You see, you're raising a very interesting point, but I think you're seeing it in the wrong way. The more we see Herman Cain unfairly attacked by the vermin in the media who have no compunction to attack him, and no desire to attack Obama, the more people will ask, wait a minute, this is a minor nonsense. Every man and woman listening knows this, except the most fanatical. This is a nothing. It's a tempest in a teapot. They must be covering up for Obama. And then they're going to start asking, what are they covering up for Obama? So I think the opposite is coming up to the surface as a result. So I disagree with your opinion. Doesn't mean you're a bad guy. And as my father had a sign in his store, don't go away, mad, just go away. Sacramento Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I echo the other caller. I think Cain should step down. I think there's been too many women who came forward. I think it's bad for him to continue on in the race, and I think he's...
Oh, so who should be the leading candidate from your point of view?
You know, at this point, I really don't know. I was hoping Perry would be good.
Oh, in other words, you don't know, but you know it's not Cain because he's number one. So in other words, knock out number one and then pay no attention to the others. You know you're an operative of either Romney or Perry. You know that. And they've told you to do cold calls to every radio show in America. I understand that. You know how much money is at stake here? To keep pillaging the American people like this, the Republicans, for 8 years, then the Democrats now for four. It'll be another eight. In other words, the pillaging is so great, they'll do anything to kill anyone in their way, whatever they have to do.
I really didn't want to be here today and wouldn't have been here if it had not been for the three other women who have alleged
sexual harassment.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're doing it for the good of humanity, you.
Mr. Cain, I want you, Mr. Cain, to come clean.
All right.
Just
who do you believe? Who do you believe, her or him? Why should we believe this unknown personality? As I said to you, in my opinion, just looking at her and listening to her, she is a Dybbuk. And Beowulf, you have to send that to me, the thing I asked you to type up for me in a moment. Something's wrong with this whole picture. They hate Cain. They're afraid of him. It's not that they hate him. They're afraid of him. Both parties are afraid of him. I'm not asking you to vote for him. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not telling you he's even the best candidate in terms of who can win. Now, I want to tell you that right now. In other words, I think Cain could beat Obama because he's real while Obama's a construct. Let's start with that. But in terms of electable, I believe Romney may be more electable than Cain, incidentally. That's a story for another time. But to see a decent man, and he's a decent man, smeared like this bothers me. And for the left-wing vermin to dig up a Dybbuk like this, in Jewish folklore, by the way, a Dybbuk is a malicious or malevolent possessing spirit believed to be the dislocated soul of a dead person. Okay? Dybbuks are said to have escaped from whatever the hell, to have been turned away, or to have been turned away for serious transgressions such as suicide, for which the soul is denied entry. The word Dybbuk is derived from the Hebrew meaning attachment. The Dybbuk attaches itself to the body of a living person and inhabits the flesh. According to belief, a soul that has been unable to fulfill its function during its lifetime is given another opportunity to do so in Dybbuk form. It supposedly leaves the host body once it has accomplished its goal, sometimes after being helped. And in my opinion, this is a Dybbuk. Every culture has a an equivalent of a malicious or malevolent possessing spirit along the lines of this creature that they dug up from the Black Lagoon or wherever they found her, what swamp she came from. But, you know, I've never seen anything like a media like this. I don't think another country would tolerate this. Las Vegas, Henry, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that Romney's going to be the nominee, because you know that. And why you're sticking up for Kane, it's laughable. This is number four. Keep counting. There are going to be five and six coming up. He's already.
Well, I don't understand. You're telling me I should not stick up for Kane? I should go along with Wolf Blitzer and rip him apart?
Yeah, you don't have to go along with Wolf Blitzer. Go on with common sense. I mean, you already got a bad reputation as far as that goes.
I see. So now you're trying to get a twofer. An unknown man like you is trying to bring down Kane and Savage. You're just the man to do it.
Yeah,
You're just the man to bring down Kane and Savage because you have such an esteemed history. Who are you?
You know what I am? I'm a fireman. Go ahead, bash fire.
Oh, yeah. And what's your pension like for sitting around eating bacon and eggs?
Hey, 5 years.
No wonder you hate Kane, because Kane would put an end to your fat pension. That's why you hate him.
Oh, no, he's not going to.
When was the last time you put out a fire? When was the last time you put out a fire? What are you doing in that firehouse all day long?
Last night, buddy. You can come by.
Yeah, there you go. He started on firemen now. Please, don't get me started on this scam called pensions. As far as I'm concerned, in five counties where I live, you can close down all the firehouses and have one chief for all of them and have volunteer firemen, as far as I'm concerned. Don't get me started on this issue. You see why he hates Kane and Savage? Because he knows that Kane would put an end to the pensions. He knows that America can't afford these fat union pensions. He knows this. So now you understand this. By the way, where was the boyfriend of the Dybbuk? New York, Yvonne, welcome to the Savage Nation. Where is the human Dybbuk's Sharon Bialystoker? Where's the boyfriend?
It's just amazing that a boyfriend will actually allow the girlfriend, oh, yeah, go ahead, go out to another state, try to find a job. She couldn't find a job locally? Why did
the so-called boyfriend not come to the press conference and corroborate this?
He should have just gone with her if he was so interested for her to get a job.
And why was this prize of humanity, the Sharon Bialy, why was she fired to begin with? Why did they fire her? They can't release those records. What did she do there that she got fired? How many other men did she come on to? Maybe the woman is a nymphomaniac who has a serial reputation for trying to seduce men. Isn't that possible?
Of course.
Are there women out there who try to hit on men? Yes. Yeah, we can't say she's one of them. We have to assume she's innocent until proven guilty. But she has stepped forward into the public limelight to attack Herman Cain. We could just as easily think that she came on to him, offered this black man oral sex, and he was the first man in her life to ever reject oral sex. Is that not possible? I mean, you want to get ugly here? That's what I think could be going on here.
I agree.
This is an ugly story. And I'm sorry, but it leads me to ask these questions. I don't want to ask them. I would much rather talk about America's destroyed economy, Obama's scandals, all of the fake solar money. How about them pursuing Nancy Pelosi? Ask yourself why these very brave men who are tearing apart a decent Christian black man, a conservative Christian black man, have let Nancy Pelosi get away with what she's gotten away with, going all the way back now to the free use of jets, to the $900 million guaranteed loan to her brother-in-law. Isn't that a story bigger than this?
Definitely.
Okay, well, that's why we are in trouble in this country. You understand this? Sacramento, Daisha, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I just had to call real quick as a woman. If you listen to this woman's voice discussing her supposed sexual harassment charge against Herman Cain, she sounds like a robot. She's robotic. She has absolutely no truth coming out of her mouth. And as a woman, and every woman that's listening, you folks know what I'm talking about. If you were done like that, you know you'd be passionate about it. You wouldn't sit there with some pre-written statement. You're going to say it with passion. You're going to say it with absolute validity because you know you were disrespected. This woman is a liar. She's a thief.
Daisha, why did she wait 12 years? But, you know, the first thing that hits me is, when she steps on the stage with a person who has the reputation of glorified Allmeds and the ghoul lawyer that is her partner. Did you see the face of the lawyer? Did you watch the press conference?
I actually did not. I turned on your program about 20 minutes ago.
Well, you cannot believe the faces of these two lawyers. You know who glorified Allmeds is, don't you?
I know. Typical Gloria.
All right, so anytime there's somebody with a scandal or a fake scandal or a claim, this one will come out of the Black Lagoon and come up with it. But the fact of the matter is we're dealing with a decent man who's being smeared by these people. I, as an individual who may or may not vote for him, have to tell you I can't sit here and watch this without attacking for him.
Well, of course.
Why are black women in this country so silent as this goes on against a decent black man? Forget whether you're a liberal or a conservative. Doesn't it bother decent black women to see a decent black man ripped to shreds like this by white liberals?
That's interesting, because actually I am African American, and I will say that this has happened over and over again to any conservative black man, and it's typical of Republicans to tuck their tails and run every time. I can't believe those two men called a minute ago saying, he needs to back down, he needs to go away. No, he needs to stand firm, he needs to look people straight in the eye.
That's right. I wouldn't quit if I were him. I dig my heels in now. I would run even harder.
That's admitting guilt. If he stops now, he's admitting guilt, and he's allowing this unbelievable leftist media to win. And I say, absolutely not. Stand up and say no. This is not going to keep going on. If you got Obama having a free shot with, oh my God, we don't even know where the guys come from.
That's right. How about his multiple Social Security cards? How about the man taking apart the U.S. military? How about the man engaging in one illegal war after another? How about the man burning out the economy with money to his friends? Why are those not issues?
Exactly. That is my point. And I would say it's because people are not using their brains. They're so brainwashed when someone starts flapping their mouth about some supposed allegation. They have to keep in mind this is his word against her word. And I can't believe she waited 12 years if it was such a terrible experience.
Well, remember now, this creature, this piece of human dough in a dress, was fired from the National Restaurant Association and went to him for a job. Why was she fired? What had she done? Was she coming on to other men at the restaurant? Was she out of control, sexually out of control? How do we know any of this?
Well, we're not going to know because our media...
I mean, there are women who are sexually promiscuous. Let's start with that. I'm not saying she is, but is it possible she was coming on to so many men they had to let her go? Is it possible?
It's absolutely possible, and that's a valid point and a valid question, and people should be asking that.
I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power, and I'm going to go to it right now for one reason. I'm going to read you one page. It's about the seminal scene in Abuse of Power, my novel, is the press conference. And there's a bomb scare in San Francisco. A bomb goes off and a car blows up. And Jack goes to the press conference, and I want to read to you what I wrote about a press conference so you know what I think of them. And tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. This is page 15 on Abuse of Power. Jack Hatfield had always thought that press conferences were about 70% public relations and 30% verifiable truth. But when all was said and done, this one didn't even meet that narrow threshold. Not that anyone noticed. Most of them were there to fill airtime, column space, or blog pages. That wasn't anything new. Jack had noticed mainstream media reporters becoming oddly incurious over the years. No one dug for information anymore. They simply regurgitated press releases or drummed up controversy in the hope of pleasing their employers, who were busy trying to woo back the viewers or readers they'd lost to the internet and talk radio. Real news was a rare commodity these days, and rarer still were real journalists. The image of the investigative reporter who let nothing stand between him and his pursuit of the truth was seen mostly in movies and episodic television shows. The lobby of the federal courthouse was jammed with people who claimed to be real journalists, but Jack could only count on one hand the number of them who truly fit that definition. He considered himself among their number, but was sure there were plenty of his colleagues who would disagree. The conference began in the usual manner, a mix of uniforms and suits, feds, cops, and politicians, flanking a single podium crowded with microphones. The chief of police stepped up and waited as the room grew quiet, except for the steady click of digital single-lens reflex cameras. After a moment, the police chief said, and he goes into the renewed condolences to the family, blah, 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 and they talk about the memorial for the officer who was killed. Again, I'm speeding up, abuse of power press conference. And then all of a sudden, one of the suits steps forward and the cameras go off. He had the crisp but slightly bland demeanor of a typical FBI agent. Jack immediately recognized him as the agent in charge from the night of the blast. Forsyth expressed condolences to the Drabinsky family on behalf of the federal government. And then he reads the press release. The crowd erupts with shouted questions, but Forsyth held up a hand to silence them. Let me finish my statement and I'll answer all your questions. He paused as they settled again. And then he says this, listen carefully. The compound is owned by a small paramilitary organization who call themselves the CDB, or the Constitutional Defense Brigade, boasting about 25 members. As many of you may know, the leader of that group is under federal indictment for tax evasion and wire fraud, and we believe the federal courthouse was the intended target of the bomber. Someone calls out, what evidence do you have of their involvement? Now, let me pause right here. Here's an FBI agent trying to blame the bombing on a white supremacist group in Northern California, when in fact it really was the Hand of Allah, a Muslim group, okay? Before the crowd could get fired up again, Forsyth once again raised his hand to keep them quiet. And then he talks about a witness by the name of William Clegg, blah, 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 blah. And then they go on. The roar erupts before he has a chance to finish his sentence. Forsyth calms them down again and said he'd take their questions one at a time. And then he points to a sultry blonde correspondent for Fox News. She asks, have any of the suspects confessed? Forsyth says they're still undergoing interrogation, so I can't comment on that at the moment. Barring any legal restrictions, however, we'll be providing you with progress reports. He points to a reporter from CBS. From the very beginning, the reporter said, there have been rumors that this attack could be related to Islamic fundamentalists. Are you saying this is strictly homegrown? Forsyth nodded. I won't deny that our first inclination was to look in that direction. But when Mr. Clegg came forward, we quickly found out otherwise. This should probably serve as a lesson to us all not to prejudge such things. The world is full of dangerous people, and some of them are in our own backyards. So Jack starts to see what's going on, and Jack analyzes what's going on. And then a reporter asks another question, and on and on and on. And Jack listens patiently in the press conference where they're trying to lay the bombing onto a white supremacist group from Northern California. Finally, he waits for them to pick on him, and they don't pick on him. And he raises his hand. This is Jack now. Jack Hatfield's my character, who has lost his job as a national TV reporter because he had been smeared by a group like Media Matters. He raises his hand only to be passed over several times by the FBI agent. And he feels for a moment as if he were the scrawny kid in phys ed who was the last to be chosen for flag football. Back in school, Jack was usually the guy who did the choosing. But he now had a sudden understanding and sympathy for what those poor kids must have gone through. Finally, when Forsyth had no choice, he calls on Jack saying, well, Mr. Hatfield, it's nice to see you're still among the living, professionally speaking at least. The crowd laughed and Jack merely smiled, but it was nervous laughter, the kind you hear when a drunk uncle stands to toast the bride and groom at a wedding. When they got it out of their collective system, Jack said, I'm curious to know why there hasn't been any mention of the Arab reportedly seen by Leon Thomas. The crowd buzzed at the remark, and there was a subtle shift in Forsyth's gaze. An Arab, Mr. Hatfield? I spoke to one of the first respondents at the scene, an officer, Harold Beckman. He told me the carjacker's brother claimed the Land Rover was stolen from a man of Arabian descent. I'll continue with the Kane attacks and the press conference from Abuse of Power, which are eerily similar in the cover-up and the smear when I come back. Now, I don't want to spend the rest of the week on this, but the accuser, as you well know, is unknown. She came out of nowhere. She waited 12 years to say he came on to her. And why? Who got her? Who dug her up? Moreover, you have to look at the source. Gloria Allred is probably one of the most questionable attorneys in the United States of America. She has represented various alleged Tiger Woods mistresses. In 1995, Allred sued on behalf of a girl who was not permitted to join her brother's Boy Scout troop because she was a girl and it was the Boy Scouts. In 1985, AllMed sued the Yellow Balloon, a children's hair salon in Los Angeles, for charging more for a girl's haircut than for a boy's haircut. Actually, my poodle groomer charges more for a poodle haircut than they do for my haircut. Should I sue them? It cost me $70 to have my dog washed and groomed. Should I sue saying that they're charging more than for a white male conservative? I mean, this is a given. So this is a creature that most Americans, when they see her, they run from the TV screen. Another case that was handled by AllMed was her defense of a woman whom the TSA forced to remove her nipple rings in the airport. One of the nipple rings needed to be removed with pliers. This is an example of what this creature does for a living. From nipple rings to such things. And now she brings up the human bialy or a dibbuk, as I told you before. This is not a laughing matter because a man's reputation is at stake. And you have to understand this. Barry in New York on WOR, what do you think of the accusations?
Well, thank you. My question is, Ms. Bialik also stated that without any request or any coaxing, Mr. Kane upgraded her hotel room to some sort of a fabulous suite.
Yes.
That's got to be documented. What do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting. When she said she was upgraded to a suite, and then she said he came onto her in her car, the two things didn't match. In other words, if he got her a fancy suite, and then he suggested they go to that suite where the alleged come-on occurred, that would be one thing. But she then, what's the point of giving her a big suite and then coming onto her in a car? Did that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. I'm just curious because to me it also it seems to be paradoxical.
But look, as an intelligent man who's been around the world, around the block, don't you think there are women who come on to men repeatedly? Maybe Kane rejected her, and that he's one of the only people who ever turned down oral sex, and she never forgot it, and never forgave him for it, because she's famous for it in her circle. Is that possible? Why can't we say that about her? What, is she sacred?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Did not realize the fly-specking nature of the media when you are running for president, especially when you start moving up in the polls. And so that has been the biggest surprise, because if there is a journalistic standard, a lot of them don't follow it. And as a result, too many people get misinformation and disinformation.
America's in a horrible turmoil, as we all know. We need a leader who can set an example which exemplifies the standards of a good person and moral character. Mr. Kane, I implore you, make this right so that you and the country can move forward and focus on the real issues at hand.
So today a leftist lawyer from L.A., glorified AllMeds, comes forward with a human piece of dough and accuses Kane of 12 years ago having come onto her in a car and asked for certain sexual favors. The accuser claims he made a pass at her while she was after a job at the Restaurant Association after she had been fired from the Restaurant Association. Now, I don't have to ask you, who do you believe more, her or him? The fact of the matter is, what's the real motivation behind this? Even if the accusation is true, which we have no way to know, do you believe this would constitute an actual crime? And if it was a crime, why didn't she file a charge against him? Do you think such a statement would disqualify Herman Cain from becoming president? Let's go back in time together when Bill Clinton was a known serial, whatever you want to call it. There were many women, not just one, not just the fat one with the blue dress, whose name I forgot, the poor girl, whose life was ruined by this man in the Oval Office, which we named the Oral Office at the time. But why did the media, down to the last empty skirt, saying, A, it was a personal affair of Bill Clinton's. It was his own business. And why did they give a pass to Bill Clinton? The answer is obvious. They're all liberals, Democrats, socialists, whatever you want to call them. And Herman Cain, although he's black, which should give him some kind of immunity from such an attack, has committed a violent crime. And the crime is he's an independent thinker who has come up with the knowledge that a conservative way is the more intelligent way to pursue one's life if one wants to succeed without the help of inordinate help of others. And so therefore, they cannot forgive him for being such a man. And they therefore throw away all of the normal protections afforded an African-American man. And they rip him to shreds with the most shameful smear campaign I've seen in my entire lifetime. This makes the what they did to or tried to do to Clarence Thomas. And by the way, it didn't work with Clarence Thomas. I want to remind you of something. The smear campaign against Clarence Thomas didn't work. He is a Supreme Court justice. Do you remember what the liberals did to him? A black lawyer, a black judge who would go on to the Supreme Court, they pulled out all the stops. He looked at a playboy at work and then looked at a woman. Wow, what a crime against humanity. What a crime against humanity. So here they go again. But what they did to Clarence Thomas, as I say, is nothing compared to what they're trying to do to Herman Cain. And all I can say is whether or not Cain survives this is a matter of conjecture at this time. I don't know how much the man can take. You know, what's lost in all of this is that the man survived. He's a stage four cancer survivor. How come the media, which every day tells us about this victim and that victim with one ribbon for this, another ribbon for that, every day another ribbon from these rats, they don't even have the decency to say Herman Cain is a cancer survivor and we should maybe for a moment stop for a second? Do you understand why the country is where it's at? Do you understand who destroyed America, that it really wasn't the Democrats or the Republicans? Do you know who destroyed America? It was these rats who are ripping apart Cain. It's the American media who destroyed America, as you can see as they try to tear down Herman Cain. Without any verification whatsoever, they take one low-life lawyer after another, one low-life accuser after another, and they hold her up as though she is the Holy Grail, the Holy Truth. It is what it is, okay? So I'm not going to spend the rest of my life defending Herman Cain. Believe me, I'm not going to do that. But as we well know, hell hath no fury like a homely woman scorned. Isn't it possible, and I'm asking the question again, that this creature, Miss Bialystok, whatever her name is, the human Bialy, the piece of dough, the soulless piece of dough in a skirt, waited 12 years to talk about a man asking her for sexual favors? This was the biggest moment in her life? She never got over it? And he's the only guy who ever said to her, let's do something in a car. Let's say he did this. He's the only one who ever said it to her? That creature? Could you believe that? That this hurt her so badly she couldn't wait till now? So who is it who dug her up? And is it possible that she is an overly promiscuous woman and has been all of her life, or had been at the time, and she was famous for certain sexual behaviors, and she offered this behavior to Herman Cain, and he rejected her? Maybe he was a nice guy. Maybe he really is a nice guy, and he said, all right, I'll help her. She seems like a nice kid. I'll see what I can do for her. And then he took her for a ride in the car, and she came on to him and said to him, I'd like to do X, Y, and Z for you, Mr. Cain. And he said, honey, please, this is not right. I'm not going to go there. And that she was so humiliated in being rejected that she waited for the opportunity to destroy him. Is that not possible? Why is that not a possibility, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury? If I were Herman Cain's defense counsel, which I am not, I'm only a talk show host. I should say not only, I am a talk show host rather than being a member of the lowest profession since street walking. In fact, the world's oldest profession may not be prostitution. It may, in fact, be lawyering. If you want to go back in recorded history, it was probably lawyers that predated the streetwalker. So as I say to you, and remember, it was nine lawyers in the Jewish Sanhedrin who condemned Jesus to the cross. I don't know if you know that story. The Sanhedrin was a group of ruling Jewish lawyers who decided on things for their Roman bosses. And I think it was 12 or 13 in the Sanhedrin. Nine of these despicable lawyers said that Jesus should be crucified. Three or four of them said, no, he didn't really commit a crime worthy of crucifixion, and he should not be crucified. Let me ask you, where do you think Gloria Allred or Glorified Almed would be in that category, in the first nine or the last three or four? Do you understand they're trying to crucify a man, and they're trying to avoid you asking questions about Barack Hussein Obama's billions of dollars to fake solar companies and failed solar companies? They're not asking questions of Eric Holder. Why are they not running after Eric Holder saying, what did you know and when did you know it about the guns, the machine guns to Mexico, which wound up killing Border Patrol Agent Terry? Mr. Holder this, Mr. Holder that. Why are they not asking him that? Because they're throwing dust in your eyes. And why is Obama running off to Bali now in the middle of all of this? Why is he skating away from America, scurrying away once again? And why have they not pursued Obama on so many issues, so many clouds hanging over his head? Why have they not brought up the girlfriends of his past, etc., and so on? Why are they going after Clarence Thomas tooth and claw? Why are they going after Herman Cain tooth and claw? What threat does Herman Cain pose to both the Republican and Democrat establishment? By asking the question, you know the answer. And so, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury, I ask you to reserve judgment for a moment and just ponder the fact that we've never seen anything lower than what is being done to Herman Cain right now by the disgraced, hated American press corps. We have never seen anything like this. And then there's one further note. Where is the NAACP today? The National Association for the Advancement of Liberal People. Where is the NAALP today? Why are they not defending this man? After all, in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. Here you have a white woman of no qualification whatsoever, a white woman of no distinction whatsoever, a white woman with no credibility whatsoever, attacking a black man saying he tried to get sex from her. This is right out of the antebellum South. I'm shocked that the NAALP has not defended Cain. Are you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
He parked the car down the block. I thought that we were going to go into the offices so that he could show me around. But instead of going into the offices, he suddenly reached over and he put his hand on my leg, under my skirt, and reached for my genitals. He also grabbed my head and brought it towards his crotch. I was very, very surprised and very shocked. I said, "What are you doing? You know I have a boyfriend. This isn't what I came here for." Mr. Cain said, "You want a job, right?" I asked him to stop, and he did. I asked him to take me back to my hotel, which he did right away.
Now, first of all, there's something odd about her saying her answer to him was, "I have a boyfriend," not like, "I don't do that thing." Did you catch what she just said? In other words, the verminous lawyers who wrote the script for her made a mistake right there. Because she's saying he did this to her, blah, blah, blah. But she didn't just say, "Oh, I'm shocked for you even to ask me to do that." She said, "I'm shocked because you know I have a boyfriend," meaning I do these things, but not to you. So that's number one. In other words, this is not new to her. Let's put it to you that way. It's not new to her, okay? In other words, she does it with her boyfriend, but not him. Is that what she's saying? So that's number one. But number two, and the more important point, by the way, is that this is not so much an allegation of sexual harassment as it is sexual assault, which leads us to the most important question of the day, is that if he did commit sexual assault, why didn't she file charges against him at the time? She could have gone to the police. She could have gone to the police. She didn't have to go to an employer. She could say he tried to assault her. He grabbed her crotch, blah, blah, blah. That's sexual assault. Why did she not do it? What'd she wait 12 years for? So it's all wrong. The whole thing, I don't believe a word of this woman's statement. Do you? Jason in Sacramento, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage.
Jason.
I'm a private investigator with
about 18 years of experience in handling these types of cases. And one of the things that come right out that speak to me in volumes is her statement. You pointed out a number of things, and you're absolutely correct. Under California law, it would be a sexual battery in which he was...
Right. In other words, if a man grabs a woman's private parts and pushes her head, that's battery already, right?
That would be a battery, yes, sir. And
yes.
Scripted statements are one of the things that you'll look out for, and this was clearly a scripted statement. Gloria, a very savvy attorney, obviously realizes that this statement would never find itself into a courtroom because she's reading from the statement, which means it's not spontaneous, and we don't have the benefit of follow-up. Another thing, she gives her statement in a very chronological order, something you would not expect even 12 years later from someone giving that type of a statement. So, purely
yeah, what? This is the only time in that woman's life anyone ever touched her that way? Is she kidding? She just said she had a boyfriend. Doesn't that imply she does that kind of thing with the boyfriend at the time?
Well, I think that what her statement implies in that type of chronological order is that it was doctored and suited up by somebody. I don't know who, but it was definitely a scripted statement.
But if I were a defense attorney in a court of law and a woman made a statement like this, I would reduce her to tears on the stand and have her run out saying, "I'm sorry." I can guarantee I could tear her to shreds like a toy doll for what she's trying to do to this man. She is lying through and through in my estimation.
I think
and moreover, I don't want to live in a country. I don't want to live in a nation where any witch can make this up at any time about any man and play the innocent, destroyed victim. In an age of such sexual promiscuity and such sexual license, I'm to believe this is the worst thing that ever happened to this woman or that it happened at all?
Dr. Savage, I'm significantly younger than you, and I've been listening to you for a long time, but I believe that's the society that we have created for ourselves, and it happens every day.
But how could the glorified Olmeds retain her law license with this kind of behavior?
Well, she should be reported to the bar. The problem is she's going to hide behind...
the problem is there is no bar. The bar is worse than she is. Have you ever seen who's on the American Bar Association? They're worse than she is. 99% of them are pot-headed lunatics. They don't even belong in a, never mind a law degree, they belong in an asylum, if not a prison. Thanks for the call. The American Bar Association, like it's some distinguished group of individuals. The lowest of the low. The lowest of the low, the American Bar Association. You're going to look to them for some solution. New York, Elaine, welcome. Let's have a woman's point of view. What's your opinion, please?
Michael, first off, I want to thank you for defending Michael Caine. Michael Caine, yeah.
I would defend if it was Michael Caine. I would defend him as well.
Amen. I want to call. I thank you for taking my call. I wanted to assure you that not all women are buying into this BS. It is a witch hunt. It's a lynch mob. But I believe it's even more than that. And Herman Cain knows that this is a battle he's in because he is a man of faith. And he's up against very evil forces, and he knows that.
Never forget that Cain is an associate minister at a Baptist church. If they could bring him down, they get a threefer. They destroy a black man, they destroy a conservative, and they destroy a Christian individual as well. Just think of the salivation on the liberal tongue over this possibility.
It makes me sick. It makes me sick. And there are many women who are totally... He's a good man. We know he's a good man.
But let's go to this woman. Do you buy her story at all?
Not at all. Not for a minute.
But why? Because you like Herman Cain or because she's not believable?
Both. I mean, he's a good man.
But as a woman, do you believe that it's possible, as I have posited, and I don't know the woman, that she was a sexually promiscuous woman who was fired from the Restaurant Association because of her promiscuity and her coming on to men? We have no way to know why she was fired. As you well know, employment records are sealed, but they fired her. She never filed a claim against the Restaurant Association. Why did she get fired? Because in those days, if you got fired, you automatically sued the company that fired you. But she didn't even sue the Restaurant Association. So the charges for which she was fired must be true. They could be sexual in nature, could they not?
Who knows? Who knows? What we know is these are very evil people. And
evil is the word. Evil. I saw the faces of evil today on the screen. Between the ghouls on the screen, the two lawyers and her, I saw the faces of evil. I saw pure evil in my own lifetime. and it was not Osama bin Laden's corpse staring up from the deep, dark depths of the Arabian Sea.
Savage.
I really hoped for his sake that, and his candidacy, that mine was not, that mine was an isolated incident, and that he had not exhibited those behaviors with other women. I didn't file a complaint against Mr. Kane as some of the other women did, because I wasn't employed by the foundation when this occurred.
Stop right there. See, now here's another lie. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury, here is the faceless, nameless ghoul who says that she was sexually assaulted by Herman Cain when he reached under her skirt, etc. And she didn't file a complaint with the Restaurant Association because she wasn't employed by them. Well, let me correct her, if I may, because she wouldn't have filed a complaint with them. She would have gone directly to the police. Wherever it occurred, whatever city, there were sex crimes units. I mean, America was not born yesterday. The women's movement came along long enough for low-life women with law degrees to rise to very high places a long time ago. And so she could have filed with the police. They would have dragged Herman Cain over the coals just based upon a complaint, by the way. If she said he grabbed her crotch and pushed her head down, that sexual assault, sexual battery, she wouldn't have gone to the NRA, ladies and gentlemen. She would have gone directly to the police department. And that would have been that for Herman Cain. So she made the whole thing up as far as I'm concerned. The whole thing is made up. Which just, you have to ask yourself one question. What are they hiding from the American public about Obama? What are they hiding about Obama and the entire rotten Democrat establishment? Why are they not pursuing Eric Holder with one-tenth the vigor with which they're pursuing Herman Cain? After all, a man died. It wasn't a matter of a sexual innuendo. It was a matter of Eric Holder's Justice Department running machine guns to Mexico on a false premise, by the way, which was that they could then take away the Second Amendment in America by making it look as though it was men with the legitimate ownership of guns here in this country. That was the problem. This is why it was done, which I describe in great detail in a forthcoming book next spring called whatever. Why are they not running after Eric Holder with their great, brave faces? Why are they not pursuing all of the other Democrats embroiled in financial scandals in the billions of dollars? Why, instead, are they going after this man, Herman Cain? And also, what has Obama got to hide that he's running off to Bali all of a sudden? Well, where is it? What's he running in the middle of all of this? In the middle of a campaign season, Axelrod says to him, get out of Dodge, leave the country, go to this conference where no American president has ever gone to this conference before. This is a low-level conference, by the way. Usually a lowly State Department official goes to it. Why is Obama dashing off to Indonesia, his homeland? Why? What's he going to Bali for? There's something wrong here. He's running away from things in the middle of all of this, and he's letting the vermin in the media attack Cain instead. But let's go to the woman again. The woman says that she did not file a complaint with the Restaurant Association because she wasn't employed by them. That's a lie. That's false, rather. Didn't matter whether she was hired, employee of theirs at the time. What matters is that if the complaint was true, she would have gone to the police. So I don't believe a word of it. Don't get me wrong. Real sexual assault is a crime. Real sexual assault is a serious crime. Real sexual assault, whether it occurs by a woman to a man, or a man to a woman, or a man to a man, or a woman to a woman, is a crime that should be punished. Let's be clear about this. But you don't use the law to destroy people unless you're evil. And if I were Cain, I would go on the attack. I would sue this woman. I would drag her into court. I would drag her over the coals. And I would ruin her for doing this to me. That's what I would do if I were him. Now, his advisors have taken a different tack, which is probably a better one for a man who's running for the presidency, which is to deny them and move on. That's okay. That's also good. He's not a talk show host who somebody is trying to get. New York Pat, female, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. You know, I'll tell you why I think this lady's a total dirtbag. I shouldn't even call her a lady. One of your prior callers did steal a little bit of what I had to say. Yeah, that would be sexual assault. But I got to tell you, if I'm an attorney And that's what really took place. My question, first question for this woman would be, why did you get in a car with him? If somebody violated me, I'm not going to get in a car with them.
Well, no, she says he did that to her in the car. So that's not right. But first she says that he got her an upgraded suite. Remember that part of the speech?
That part, I have to be honest with you, I didn't hear. I heard it on your...
All right. Well, so she starts with the long story that she went to the hotel and blah, 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 and Herm Cain gave her a big, big suite. Then she jumps into, they were in a car together, and he reaches for her crotch and pushes her head down to his, you know what? What does the suite have to do with the car? If it's true that Herman Cain got her a big fancy suite in a hotel, why do you have to need to do this in a car? Why didn't he say, let's discuss this up in the hotel room? The whole thing is a pack of lies. It does not hold up. If I were an attorney, I could easily defeat her and Allmeds in a court of law. Okay, something's wrong here. Kansas City, Rolando, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know, Dr. Savage, I'm not going to say that their lies are truth, but when a bunch of women start claiming that maybe a guy has, you know, sexual urges, maybe the guy did something, and maybe it's important that they do come out and say, hey, you know, this guy's not, you know, all he wants some high level of stature that he should be president of the United States. And one woman may...
You mean if Herman Cain has a high normal male sexual drive, he's unqualified? Only if he's a neutered, a half-female, should he run for office?
No, I'm not saying that.
Or if he's a man with a beard for a wife, that would qualify him for office?
No, you're skipping the point. The point I'm trying to make...
All right. Yeah. In other words, you're agreeing that he's guilty. He's guilty already because of the accusations. I don't buy it. A man is innocent until proven guilty in this society. So... You know what I'm going to do again? I'm going to do this. It's one half of a page longer. I started it before, and people are emailing me. Finish the press conference from Abuse of Power. So my character, Jack Hatfield, tries to be heard at a press conference when the FBI is trying to blame a white supremacist group for a bombing of a certain situation in the novel, right? So finally Jack gets up and says, I'm curious to know why there hasn't been any mention of the Arab reportedly seen by Leon Thomas. The crowd buzzes, and the FBI agent looks at him and says, an Arab, Mr. Hatfield? I spoke to one of the first responders at the scene, an officer, Harold Beckman, says Jack. He told me the carjacker's brother claimed the Land Rover was stolen from a man of Arabian descent. The FBI agent smiles. We have yet to definitively identify the original driver, but we have every reason to believe that he's one of the men we just took into custody. And I assure you there's not an Arab in sight. So you're saying Beckman was lying, says Jack? As I recall, Officer Beckman suffered a minor head injury in the blast, so I'm afraid his recollection cannot be relied upon. The FBI agent was about to call in another reporter when Jack interrupted. Beckman told me this before the blast. More muttering. The FBI agent shifts his gaze back to Jack, and Jack could plainly see that he was seething inside. This was not information Forsythe wanted asked about or shared. If I remember correctly, you were also knocked down by the explosion. Maybe you're confused as well. I don't think so, Jack told him, and my memory's just fine. Forsythe smiled again. It took some effort. Or maybe you're just disappointed that our investigation has not turned up any Muslims for you to kill. The shot went right to the heart, and after a split second of stunned surprise, the reporters around Jack laughed uproariously, nodding and shaking their heads in Jack's direction. It was, Jack had to admit, the perfect response. It immediately branded him a crackpot who shouldn't be taken seriously. And then there's more on that page. Jack says he learned something as a combat journalist was that anything the commanding officers had to say should be taken with a heavy dose of skepticism. The soldiers on the ground were the ones who knew the truth, and that's who he needed to go to in order to find out. He had no idea why the FBI would lie about this, and he goes on. A quote from Isaiah comes to his mind. As for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. It was to this state America had fallen. A few more questions were asked and so forth and so on. And that's how it is. That's the story. And it's an abuse of power. There's much more to it. I don't want to read the whole scene to you. But believe me, I know what press conferences are. And I also know that I don't believe any of them. So let's go back to the story at hand today. A fake press conference put on by ghouls as far as I'm concerned. A new Cain accuser alleges sexual assault in 1997. You know how many years ago that was? 1997. Why did she not go to the police at the time? And would you believe anybody that these two scurrilous lawyers would bring forward? I wouldn't. Atlanta, Georgia. Helen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I want to tell you, I met Herman Cain 3 or 4 years ago for the first time when I was going to the tea parties and have met him. I've also met his wife since then. He is a good and decent man, and I am so outraged at this. Anybody that knows this man knows it. This is trumped up baloney. I watched.
Did Herman Cain try to get you into a hotel room?
Not in the least.
Did Herman Cain take you for a ride in a car and make sexual advances to you? Of course not.
Of course not. When I saw that cheap woman reading her story, hiding behind her shop.
Thank you. That cheap woman. She certainly looks like a cheap piece of trash.
She is. She's low class.
She is low class. She's from the gutters of Chicago, no doubt. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. How could they take a low-class harridan like her and expect anyone to believe it to begin with? And then she reads a script and she bumbles it. Everything she says backwards.
You know what? If somebody did that to me in a car, I wouldn't have to read it from a piece of paper. I would remember every single thing if somebody did that to me and treated me that way.
Why did she not? Notice how careful she was to say, I did not report it to the Restaurant Association because I didn't work for them. That was written by her lawyers. Because the first question anyone would ask is, if Herman Cain grabbed you and grabbed your body like that, why didn't you report it? So she says she didn't go to the Restaurant Association because she didn't work for them. But that begs the question, why didn't she go to the police?
Absolutely. I mean, why, if Herman Cain is such a serial sexual harasser, why have all these people waited years to suddenly come out of the woodwork?
Remember when all these accusations were coming out against Bill Clinton, what the vermin in the media was saying? I remember them to this day. Oh, it's his personal affairs. It's his personal business. Oh, it's his shenanigans. Do you remember those days?
I sure do. And it was.
And by the way, where is the NAALP on this? Why is the National Association for the Advancement of Liberal People not coming to Herman Cain's aid? After all, this is a white woman attacking a black man on hearsay statements. Where is the NAALP?
Yeah, well, obviously the media and the people that Obama's handlers, whoever is behind this, these people are so scared. And I want to tell the Savage Nation.
Why are they scared of Herman Cain? What is Obama afraid of? In facing Herman Cain, why does he not fear facing Romney, but fear facing Herman Cain? I can tell you why, because they're the alpha and omega of the same imagery. That's why. One is real, one is solid, one is honest, and the other is the obverse.
Absolutely right. They're two sides of the same coin, like you've been telling us for.
Well, the two sides, none of the same. Okay, two sides. That's interesting. Okay, two sides of the same coin. One is good, and one is not good. One is honest, one is not honest. One is has the interests of America ahead of his own interests, and one doesn't. We can go right down the list and ask yourself why Obama's scurrying off to Indonesia all of a sudden. Why?
To be a part of from the fray and not be connected with this. And I believe that these women are all being paid off by somebody's deep pockets to come up with these accusations to this man. I want the Savage Nation to know Herman Cain is a wonderful man, and I think he should continue on because they are.
I do, too. I pray they don't. You do know he's a stage 4 cancer survivor, right?
I do.
Why is it that the media, which, as I said before, every day foists victims real and imagined upon us, foists ribbons upon us with sympathy for every cause on earth, is not looking at Herman Cain's survival from cancer? Why are they giving that? Why are they overlooking that all of a sudden?
Good question. Good question.
Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right. Now let's calm down for a minute and let's analyze this together. First of all, Glorified Allmed is the same attorney who came up with the allegations that Meg Whitman, who was running for the governorship of California, had hired illegal aliens as maids. Remember that? She's a well-known Democrat operative from Los Angeles. She may as well just be a lawyer for the DNC. That's number one. They use her to come out and attack any legitimate conservative candidate. Now, Whitman was defeated not only because of that, but because Whitman refused to espouse any conservative values whatsoever. But that's a separate story. That's number one. And number two, and I have to say this right now, my gut feeling tells me that Kane will drop out of this race. No matter what we want him to do, there's only so much a man can take or should take. As a person who has been victimized by lies, and I haven't dropped out of radio, but it's a much different thing than getting up every day and facing an audience and facing the slime in the media. The beauty of radio is you don't have to face these rats. You don't have to look at the faces of these rats because it provokes rage in you. When you're falsely accused, or even when you are simply hounded by these people, your instinct is to reach out and strangle them. You have manly instincts to reach out and punch them in the nose for what they're doing to you when you know that it's unfair. So I don't know how much more he can take. He is a stage 4 cancer survivor. He's over 50. He's married. What does he need this for is what he's going to come to. Him and his wife, probably with some kind of meditation with God or Jesus, are probably going to withdraw. Because even if he's innocent, he's going to withdraw. How much can a man take? How much should a man take? Why should he put up with this anymore is really another story. All right, callers, let's rush to Hawaii. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. God, I hope you're wrong that Herman Cain doesn't stand up and say, you know what, I've had enough of this, and this is absolutely wrong. Look, I was accused of sexual harassment way back when I was a manager working for a property management company. I had an employee as a skinny, howly lady, white lady, for people that don't live in Hawaii.
Yeah.
She was late for work all the time. She always she just came out of the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Any task that I gave her was incomplete. It was never done
mm-hmm.
properly. And then when I used to lean over her shoulder and point to the computer and say, look, this is where you made your mistake, this is where you made your mistake.
She right.
would look up at me and go, like this, and I go, what's wrong? She go, you're making me scared. Anyway, I knew I was being set up. So she
filed what, sexual harassment complaint against you?
Exactly. I finally made a recommendation to my boss, and I said, look, this girl is not cutting it. She's not going to make it.
All right. So she used her sexuality as an excuse for her lack of performance, which is often done in the workplace. And she filed charges. Quickly, what happened?
She didn't file charges, but she let it known that she felt that she was being sexually harassed. It wasn't until I pulled out a picture of my girlfriend. I'm a white guy. I pulled out a picture of my girlfriend, who is an absolutely beautiful, voluptuous black woman. And I showed it to her, and I said, you know something? You don't do anything for me.
All right. But the point is that she tried to use sexual harassment as a tool, right?
Right.
To get away with what she was failing at work, in other words. Jimmy in New York is the last caller in this hour on WOR. Jimmy, fire away.
Gloria Allred is in the Southern California's Americans for Democratic Action. She's in its progressive caucus. That's the most radical wing of a radical group. And she works
And her daughter, by the way, is a chip off the old ice cream block. That's a story for another time. I know the daughter's actions as well. They're both peas in the same red pod. Look, Jimmy, this is a very dangerous time to live in America. You talk about McCarthyism. Does this not strike you as something lower than what McCarthy did, even though McCarthy was actually disclosing the truth about communists and fellow travelers? Do you see what these people are doing, how they're actually lower than any of the McCarthyites of their time? This is far worse than the Red List, is it not?
It's scary, and I worry about this movie coming out, J. Edgar, about J. Edgar Hoover, what they're going to do to him.
Oh, yeah, I know. He wore a dress, and he wore a yellow ribbon, of course. I'll tell you what, I would take a transvestite FBI director who loved America over any other type who doesn't love America. How's that? Does that work for you, Jimmy? He could wear a dress and a wig, as far as I'm concerned, if he protected us from our enemies, domestic and foreign.
Savage.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today the big news is the attack upon Kane again by the disrespected, questionable, I don't have the correct adjectives for this thing, glorified Olmeds from L.A. So today, glorified Olmeds, the well-known leftist hack, finds a new liar to accuse Herman Cain. The accuser claims Cain made a pass at her when she was trying to get a job at the National Restaurant Association in the late 1990s. Now, I want to turn it around on this. What if she came on to Cain and he rejected her offer of oral sex and she has harbored this hatred for 12 years because he's the only man she was unable to do this to? Remember, hell hath no fury like a homely woman scorned. Do you believe that Gloria glorified Olmeds, the most disgraced lawyer in American history, was pure in her motivation for bringing this creature forward? Do you have any respect for the legal profession? Is there a profession you despise more than the legal profession, aside from TV commentators? What is your lawyer horror story, your worst one? Have you ever seen anything lower than the TV commentators who are covering the Cain accuser case? Do you believe it's possible that the accuser may have come on to Herman Cain? Is it possible that Herman Cain rejected her and she never forgot it? Who do you believe more? Why has the media refused to pursue accusations against Jesse Jackson with the same vigor as those against Herman Cain? How come they have left Al Sharpton alone on the false accusations against Detective Pagonis? Remember that case? These are some of the questions that are worth talking about. We cannot confirm or deny this, but there was a link. We did a Google search for the name Sharon Bialik. For those of you who don't know what a Bialystokke is, it's a piece of soft dough. A Bialy is sort of the opposite of a bagel. A bagel is a kind of hard dough. A Bialy is soft dough. Sharon Bialik, a woman made of all soft dough, came out and accused Herman Cain of whatever. We did a Google search for the name Sharon Bialik today, and we came up with the results: Sharon Bialik, the Cain accuser, and David Axelrod. Do they have a connection? And a link to the website, freerepublic.com. But when that link was followed up, the result that comes up reads, this thread has been pulled. Pulled on 11-7-2011 at 11:09:41 p.m. by administrative moderator. Reason? Misleading. Sharon Bialik has lived and worked in Chicago for years. Do you believe she might have a connection with David Axelrod, Obama's handler? Do you believe that websites are pulling evidence of this connection to cover up Obama's involvement in this political assassination? Do you think Obama's team could be responsible for this attack on Cain? And if so, what do you think Obama is afraid of in Cain? I mean, this is a big deal. Are there bigger stories than this? Oh, yeah, like Iran's nukes, the Egyptians' killing of Christians and burning of churches. Look, I can go on and on. So today, the leftist hack lawyer from L.A., glorified Allred, finds this new liar to accuse Cain. And the question is, what do you think the real motivation is for coming out now? What do you think glorified Olmed's real motivation is for her involvement in this? Even if the accusation is true, do you believe it constitutes an actual crime? Should this disqualify Herman Cain from becoming president? I mean, there are rumors circulating about Obama. How come no one's ever followed those up? Like his birth certificate. Where's the vigor on that one? Have you ever been accused of a crime that you did not commit? How did it affect your life? Tell the audience. And were you ever able to clear your name? I haven't been able to clear my name. I've been banned in England. A U.S. general was fired this week for criticizing Afghan leaders. Do you think U.S. generals should be encouraged to speak out on political issues? Today, the vermin media is obsessed over Herman Cain, the sex charges against the coach at the University of Pennsylvania, and the doctor for Michael Jackass. Do you think these are the most important topics for news coverage? Are these the most important issues to you? What would you rather the lowlifes in the media focus on? I mean, from my point of view, glorified Olmeds introducing a witness claiming to have been sexually harassed is the equivalent of Jesse Jackson being introduced as an expert witness on marital fidelity, or Al Sharpton being the greeter at a Jewish temple on Saturday morning, or Madeleine Albright turning down a brisket dinner in North Korea, or Nancy Pelosi joining a convent and taking a vow of poverty, or Anderson Cooper passing on a Turkish tea bag. Let's see what else is in the news. Well, it's all there on michaelsavage.com. I mean, you want to talk about it. That's what we're talking about today on the program. My headline's pretty clear. Discredited media whore lawyer finds new liar from Chicago to smear Cain. That's one man's opinion. China says Europe induces sloth and indolence. How's that for a story? What does he mean by that? The chairman of China's sovereign wealth fund, that means all the money they invest, says he will not support a European bailout. Why? He says because the welfare system is so corrupted that it does not support a good society. He said, I think the labor laws in Europe are outdated. The labor laws induce sloth, indolence, rather than hard working. The incentive system is totally out of whack for Europe, says he. Why should, for instance, within the Eurozone, some members' people have to work to 65, even longer, whereas in some other countries they're happily retiring at 55, languishing on the beach? This is unfair. The welfare system is good for any society to reduce the gap, to help those who happen to have disadvantages to enjoy a good life. But a welfare society should not induce people not to work hard. Jin Li Quin, the supervising chairman of China's sovereign wealth fund. Hear, hear. Sense coming from communist China. Well, if you want to read it again, go to michaelsavage.com. And then you'll see Abuse of Power. 6 weeks on bestseller lists. Download an excerpt and read your copy for free right now.
Savage.
The president, and working with us, deliberately put pieces in the jobs bill that they had always supported. Maybe they want the economy to be as bad as possible because they think that's their best road to electoral victory. You don't want to come to that conclusion, but their actions sort of draw you in that direction. If they would come to us and say, here's how we can vote for it, we'd work with them. 59% of Republicans agree that those folks should pay an increase in taxes. 80% of Democrats, 70% of independents. So they say, well, that's their objection.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. We're living in a strange time where so many people are shifting alliances because they see which way the wind blows. That yesterday's conservative could be tomorrow's Obama supporter. Because it's been happening, by the way. If you look you listen very carefully to Fox News, since Murdoch got in trouble with the scandal, with with the eavesdropping in England, and then the Obama went after him here, they moved all the way over, you know, almost touching hands with Obama on so many policies. Not entirely, of course, but it's happening in talk radio as well. I don't think I've changed in I change in areas where I think it's worth changing. But just to change to survive is not necessarily smart. Because then what do you stand for? What are your principles? Where's the truth in that? You know what I'm saying? And in that sense, I would have to say that I'm not a Buddhist who is seeking nirvana by ridding myself of all forms of desire. nor am I really from the Greek school to see and know fearlessly and rightly. Actually, maybe closer to the Greek school than anything else. I'm not Greek by heritage. I don't even like lamb. And I do work for a living. But I the Greeks taught, it was an injunction to see and know fearlessly and rightly. And the Hebrews commanded to fear God and accomplish righteousness. Now, I wouldn't associate independent political views with knowing to fearing God and accomplishing righteousness. I would say an independent political orientation would be closer to the Greek injunction to see and know fearlessly and rightly. It has nothing to do with nirvana and Buddhism and to rid myself of all forms of desire. And many of the, you know, I'm going to make a jump now, but many of the bums in the parks who claim that they're occupying this, occupying that, are pretending to be somewhat along the lines of Buddhists, freeing themselves from all forms of desire in order to escape from the chagrins of life. But it's all a lie. It's all a charade. It's all part of this college mentality. You could see it. You could see it in everything that they do, from the sexcapades to the money that they're raising. Let's go to the callers. William in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm a student of Chinese medicine, not an expert.
Yes.
But according to Chinese medicine, each person measures their life is according to number of air, number of time that they inhale and exhale.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, so you're confirming that a man should not stress himself with too vigorous exercise, correct?
Yes, correct. And it's confirmed by the Chinese medicine for 3,000 years, 5,000 years, I don't know.
So, you know, well, look, William, what I was saying was I never believed that running to exhaustion was a good idea. I think it's a disastrous idea for the human body. And yet American doctors teach people now to get cardio to work out excessively until they sweat and they're panting. And I say it's absurd. It's wrong. I think you're saying that you agree with me.
Yes.
So what form of exercise do you use? The slow movement, the Tai Chi type of movement?
Yes, it's actually the Tai Chi type of movement, and they try to control their breathing during the exercise as slow as possible.
Oh, so in other words, the breathing should be slow so that you don't increase the amount of breaths.
Yes, and deep, so you get more oxygen into your system.
That's amazing. Yeah, I never really understood that. I knew that there was breathing involved with martial arts, but I never conceptualized that it was slow breathing. That's very intriguing. So, William, what kind of medicine do you teach it or practice it?
I'm still studying it. But actually, a lot of those are good Chinese doctors. They don't use medicine a lot. They use food.
I know they use food. The problem is most of the Chinese restaurants I eat in, I need a doctor after I get through. William, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. Well, oh, come on, I'm just pulling your leg. It's so greasy, your lips stick together. And I go to I keep going back to the same place. I complain about it, then I go, my lips, I need anti-glue to unglue my lips from the place I go to on Sansome Street. Don't tell them, they're nice people. I'm not going to go in there anymore. $16 for a seafood special? You need a microscope to find the four little, you know, the sewer shrimp. That's terrible. I shouldn't eat shrimp at all. I've sworn off it. Remember how many times I've told you I don't eat shrimp anymore? Then I wind up eating shrimp. It's like saying I don't watch HBO. I'm canceling it. Then I find myself watching it. There's certain things I can't do without. And I do like shrimp, but it's a dirty organism, truthfully. By the way, talking about food, I noticed that you want to see capitalism, everything tied up into one story. A guy invests, I think, $5 million in Las Vegas to build a shrimp farm, one of the largest shrimp farms in America, in the middle of the desert. And he's growing shrimp in artificial beds to supply the shrimp that is consumed in all of the big hotels in the Las Vegas Strip, which makes sense because shrimp cocktails are very popular. And the water is cleaner, when you think about it, than the imported shrimp, which comes from Asia, where the waters are polluted. Let's be clear. I reluctantly eat shrimp when I know it's from the Gulf of Mexico. And even there, all right, it's pre-oiled. I don't know how clean it is. I try to eat nothing with a shell on it, in truth. But I don't want to get into food at all, because that's not an obsession of mine anymore. I'd rather talk about politics if you want. You want to talk about October trend report. Michael Savage's trend is up 27% in streaming talk radio. Limbaugh has flatlined. Groucho Marx has declined completely. Wallbanger has declined completely. It's very interesting. Why? I mean, why are the dynamics of the Savage Nation going up? You know, you wouldn't know it. I mean, no one calls me. No one says, come on the show for your opinion of talk radio. They have people you never heard of. And I've given up caring about it, truthfully. Yes, I'd like to be called more. Yes, I'd like them to say, conservatives said this about Herman Cain, and they would quote me because I said he's the great black hope. You would think someone would have picked up on it, but they haven't. You know, they just haven't picked up on it. I think it's a great line. I hope Herman Cain, you know, rides through this attack on him by the anti-black media. Make no mistake about it, this is an anti-black media that has finally found a method to attack a black man safely, which is on the issue of sex, because as you well know, there's a stereotype about black males and their sexual prowess. And what they're doing is the left-wing media is playing into that very stereotype. They are exploiting particularly white women's fear of black men. You know, you want me to really get into the psychodynamics of what they're doing to Herman Cain? They did the same exact thing, as you well know, to Clarence Thomas. And they're doing it again. What, Clarence Thomas read a Playboy at work? That's the worst they could come up with? And he looked at a woman and said, honey, you're beautiful? Wow, that really should have disqualified him. You know, really should have disqualified him. How about looking into Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Or how about looking into the two clowns that Obama appointed? The two unqualified clowns appointed because of their gender and race. They were never qualified to be on the Supreme Court. But you never heard one word about the two clowns that Obama picked out of the so-called Ivy League. Instead, they attacked this decent man. You know, I don't care whether or not he wins. I'd like him to win. I don't like what they're doing to him. It's unfair. Attack him for his policies. But they couldn't win. They couldn't get him on his tax plan. They tried to make a mockery of him until they realized that they were picking on him too much. And he looked like a black man being picked on by the white vermin in the media. So now where are they going? With sexual claims. So what if the National Restaurant Association paid off some bimbos who said he looked at him and said, let's have a drink together. So what? That should disqualify him? How about the crimes and misdemeanors of Obama? How about the absolute crimes and misdemeanors of Obama that these rats in the media won't talk about?
Savage.
We've talked a lot here on the Savage Nation about the corruption of some unions and the damage this has done to this nation. Joining us to talk about this and much more is former gubernatorial candidate and transparency advocate, Adam Andrzejewski. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation. So first tell my audience, the Savage Nation, why you think this is a national story.
Well, with Illinois as the coal mine canary of the president's economic policies, I mean, President Rama learned his lessons well in our state. He didn't sponsor much legislation. He voted present a lot of the time, and he kept his head down, but he did learn his lessons. He learned that the Illinois Democratic power base is comprised of the big corporations on corporate welfare, the poor people on welfare transfer payments, and government employees. And the Democrats in Illinois, they don't care about small business owners, entrepreneurs, and hardworking private sector families because we're not their power base. Barack Obama learned that lesson, and he carried it forward into Washington, D.C.
You talked about the Democrat power base, but give a few examples, would you please, of what Democrats have done to appease their base?
Well, the Democratic power base, quite simply in Illinois, is those citizens on welfare transfer payments. And Illinois has very rich and very lucrative Medicaid programs, for instance. If Illinois was the average state on a Medicaid spending program, we would actually save $1 billion. On the big corporations, obviously, Democrats need funding, and the big corporations provide that funding because they're on corporate welfare in Illinois. Over the course of the past 12 months, big corporations in Illinois have got literally $500 million worth of corporate welfare. Our state has $8 billion worth of unpaid bills to service providers, serving the most vulnerable, but yet we gave $3 million a year ago to Google, and Google is one of the fastest-growing companies in the world. And when Boeing moved their headquarters to Illinois from Seattle, Washington, we gave them $63 million, and that was $126,000 per employee. So the big corporations fund the machine, the people on welfare transfer payments vote for the machine, and the public unionization of the payrolls, the legendary patronage armies in Illinois, they get out the vote as well. And we have 1 million people taking a paycheck or a pension check from some level of Illinois government, And Illinois only has 4 million people that file income tax returns.
Well, would you please tell my audience about the corruption going on in your state and what the socialist Democrats are doing to placate their Democrat base? I guess it's more welfare.
Well, the union muscle is extreme in Illinois, and it's a pension loophole abuse muscle that they've actually muscled their way into the public pension plans for their private work while they work for the unions. So we've got some of the top union bosses in the country, all the way from the National Education Association, all the way down into the Illinois AFL-CIO, the two Illinois teacher union presidents. To give you an example of the muscle that they exert on the teacher's pension plan, there's 34 of these union bosses literally draining $4 million a year out of the teacher pension system, and 23 of them have already drained over $1 million. It was just outed by one of the Chicago papers that the loophole got even more extreme. You can substitute teach for one day, earn $93, and you're in line to receive a teacher's pension for the rest of your life. Here's an example. Ann Davis spent 35 years teaching in a Harvey Elementary School, and she topped out on her pay at $67,000 a year. Then she went to the union for 6 years, and she became president of the Illinois Teachers Union. And when she retired, rather than having a $50,000 teacher pension, her pension for the rest of her life is $150,000. So it drains $2 million over her lifetime out of the rank-and-file teacher pension. And what happens is when these pension systems and the levels of spending are unsustainable in Illinois, they come back for tax hikes. And they just hiked our taxes in January by 67%. And because of the unsustainability of the Illinois budget, they increased spending. We've got $8 billion worth of unpaid bills. We've got higher spending and higher taxes going forward in the future. The hard rumor is that they're going to hike our taxes by another 40% in the lame duck session after the November 2012 election. What this does is it drives hardworking businesses and families and entrepreneurs out of Illinois, and that increases the Democratic power. The Democratic power base grows when they hike the taxes on the hardworking families and business because it feeds the people on welfare transfer payments, it feeds the pensions of the public employees, and it feeds the corporate welfare.
Will you compare what's going on in your state with what's going on in Washington at the moment?
Well, Barack Obama learned his lessons very well in Illinois, and you see socialism on the march in Illinois. Literally, there's 2.8 million people, about 20% of our population, that is actually on the Illinois Medicaid health care plan. 1 million people take a paycheck or a pension check from some level of Illinois government, and the big campaign cash that funds it all is from the big companies who got $500 million in corporate welfare last year. This is Illinois, and it's the same playbook at the national level. And we're all aware of Solyndra. And Solyndra basically got taxpayer-guaranteed loans, about $500 million worth. And the public pension system in Illinois is our Solyndra. Taxpayers are constitutionally on the hook for these retirement annuity pensions, and we're underfunded to the tune of one-third of our entire GDP in Illinois. So our total goods and services produced in a year is roughly $644 billion. Our unfunded pension liability in total on the state's five pension plans is $215 billion. It's a third of all goods and services produced in the entire state.
Can anything be done to fix this horrible problem?
Well, we need to do three things. We need to cut spending. We need to reform the pension system. We need reform to our workers' compensation system. Our premiums are three times larger than our neighboring state of Indiana. It's crushing private sector jobs. We're not growing our economy because of the heavy burden of the taxation, the huge levels of pension liability, and the excessive regulation that we have on the economic engine of this state. And the Democrats know this. They don't care. They don't care about the private sector. It's not their power base. Their power base are the people on welfare transfer payments, the large corporations on corporate welfare, which they take care of, and the government workers, the huge and legendary public payrolls in Illinois. They know it will collapse, but they'll figure that out down the line. Meanwhile, they are fat and happy. It's all about perpetual political power.
Adam Andrzejewski, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you very much for having me on the show and giving a national platform. Your listening audience needs to know how bad that Chicago Democrats have fiscally and financially destroyed the state of Illinois. Illinois needs a Scott Walker moment. You're helping to facilitate that. Thank you very much, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
People on the right are trying to put this around the blogosphere that the president doesn't mention God. And clearly they're trying to play now toward this real right-wing religious right kind of thing, which I think is unfortunate. Many Christians have firm belief, but it's based on your work. You can't use God in Christianity and then turn around and vote against trying to feed the hungry, care for the outcast, clothe the naked. Your action, faith without works, is a dead thing. They need to read the Bible that they quote.
Yeah, come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
Shabab, shabab.
Shabab, shabab.
Loved this song when I was a kid. Loved it.
Shabab, shabab.
They could never sell it today. They couldn't, it's too shabab, shabab. Slow. You know?
Shabab, shabab.
It's like on glue.
Shabab, shabab.
Are the stars
sitting on the Belt Parkway, you know what I mean? That's where we used to go. I mean, people, do you think I didn't grow up real? I mean, I grew up in a real city. I went out with girls. So I'm not supposed to know things. The scene about falling on the radio, truthfully, have you read anything as good as that in the history of sexual scenes in books? Never. Never. I mean, you've read the other stuff. You'd expect it. Notice there was not one F word. Have you ever heard about a man putting a T-shirt over a woman because she was screaming too loudly and he was afraid that people would hear her? No. And he wasn't the killer. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of nuance in this book. But it's the same in the whole, like, all the politics, the political stuff in it. Let me read you a violence scene, okay? Since many of you say, well, I'd rather hear about sex than violence. How would you rather hear a violence scene, those of you who are offended by sex? You like that? Jack awoke to the sound of screaming. A woman's scream of pain, the kind of pain that comes from teeth being extracted without Novocaine, or fingers being cut off with wire clippers. Her high-pitched wails echoed mournfully down a long hallway. Then they stopped abruptly, followed by the sound of her sobs as she gasped for air. Jack had a bag over his head, burlap from the smell of it, and he had no idea where he was. He was sitting in a chair with a sagging wicker seat, his wrist tied to the slats that comprised the seat back. The chair was not bolted to the floor, but even if he could hop it around, where would he go? His mouth tasted of blood, and his tongue was sore, which meant he'd managed to bite it during the struggle in the alleyway. Worse yet, his head was throbbing, and the room seemed to be spinning slowly. Around and around like a Ferris wheel, he thought he might throw up, but at least he was alive for now. Listening to the woman sob, and he knew she wasn't acting this time, a turn of events that surprised him. And then I go on to what had happened to him. And here it is. As he considered what he would do next, a metal door clanged down the hallway, opening, hitting a wall, then closing. Whoever had thrown it open wasn't happy. Voices drifted toward him as two pairs of footsteps reverberated against the walls moving in his direction. He wrestled with his bonds again, trying to loosen them, the rope cutting into his flesh, rubbing his wrists raw. There was nothing in the Krav Maga training manual to deal with this, except for the rubber-encased bite-activated potassium cyanide pill that Mossad operatives carried between cheek and jaw like chewing tobacco, which he didn't have. Then a door in front of him clanged open and a voice said, "Your girlfriend is a stubborn little tart, Mr. Hatfield. I've seen men twice her size break under half the stress. Jack would know that smarmy voice anywhere. It was blank, blank. I won't read you anymore. Again, I want to show you, you know, from the alpha to the omega, from the subtle to the not so subtle, from the violent to the sexual, it's all in there. And I want you to read the novel. I want you to understand this is my story in some way. I had to try to tell you my story. It's as though I'm a man who threw out a message in a bottle to the world. And that message is about how I have been wronged by the illegitimate governments of the United States and Britain. And the reason I say the United States is because they won't do jack to help me as an American citizen clear my name and clear my honor. I worked my whole life in an honorable manner on behalf of this nation. And I am the only member of the American media to be banned from entering Britain on trumped up charges created by people within this country who I think were funded by George Soros's Media Matters. I believe there are other names I could name right now, which I'm not going to bother with. And they use the English to do their dirty work, hoping it would bring about the death of conservative talk radio in America. I was the canary in the mineshaft, and I had little or no help from anybody else in the media, conservative or otherwise. And this has gone on since 2009. It's cost me a lot of money, a lot of agony, and I had to write a novel to try to reach out to the world. And when you read this book, you'll see what it's all about. Jack tries to save America from the next 9/11. And in doing so, he finds out that he was smeared in a very similar manner to yours truly. Some of it's fiction, some of it's not fiction, some of it's imaginary, some of it's real. The fact of the matter is, though, it's a book that was written like a message in a bottle that I threw out in the ocean. And I hope that this bottle washes up on your shore and you pop the cork and you read the message. Cheryl in Alabama, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I want to make a comment about the protesters, that they're not very – they only protest people that they want to protest. There was one this morning that had a New York Yankees T-shirt on it. I don't see them protesting the, you know, the million-dollar, you know, get $50 million for a five-year contract. So aren't those considered rich people too?
Well, notice that they attacked Murdoch outside his mansion, even though he was out of the country. But they didn't attack Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric, because he controls MSNBC, the most feted channel in the history of the Soviet Union. How is that possible? Right. How should we take any of them seriously when they would go outside Murdoch's house when he's not even a banker, for example? He's only a rich man who happens to be a conservative, the owner of a conservative outlet called Fox News. Okay, so it's a targeted protest, not really about bankers, but against their favorite targets that the unions chose, by the way, in consort with Obama, who's at war with News Corporation. You know that.
No Britney Spears, no football players, nobody, those kind of people.
How about black billionaires, like the man who owns the Black Entertainment Network?
Exactly. So what we're supposed to take for them is that the 99% that they're supposedly representing, they're all the people that they spend, you know, $120, $150 to go to a game, that they have money to do that. They all have cell phones. They all have clothes and sunglasses and the rest
That's
of that.
That's right. Of course. It's all rubbish, and America knows it. Come on. The only people who are buying this garbage are the idiots in the media like Anderson Cooper and that breezy creature on MSNBC whose husband ran the Federal Reserve, Miss Breezy. I mean, if there was really a justice in this world, she'd be tried for crimes against humanity. If there was really justice, a people's court, Andrea Mitchell and her husband, whoever his name, what was his name? I keep forgetting his name. The guy with the big glasses. Alan Greenspan and Andrea Mitchell will be brought before a people's court. And the judge would say, all right, step before the court, please. All right, what's your name, Andrea Mitchell? Tell me what you did. You had a fake show on MSNBC where you held up your husband's policies in the Federal Reserve? Yes. All right. 1,000 years in Siberia. I mean, what do you think the punishment should be for what she's been doing?
Right.
Thanks for the call. I'm getting a sore throat already. Ah, here it is. I found it. What a long lobby that was. It's page 272. Jack and Sarah flew from London on a private charter, a Gulfstream G550, courtesy of Senator Harold Wickham. Although Jack had been reluctant to get the senator involved before, he knew he had no choice now but to bring him into this mess. Harold Wickham was a Texas oil man, a hardline hawk, who always put country first and politics last. Jack had met him several years before when he and two fellow senators were visiting Iraq's Green Zone while the search for WMDs was still ongoing. Jack had interviewed Wickham, blah, blah, blah. Off the record, however, Wickham confessed to Jack over a beer that he wasn't all that confident they ever would find the weapons. He had become convinced that the U.S. was either victim to sloppy intelligence or, more likely, that the WMDs had been quietly smuggled into Iran. Neither scenario made the senator happy. So, in other words, they became friends, right? And they're on the guy's jet. I'm not going to read you every word in here. And here we are. An hour later, Jack and Sarah boarded their flight. It was a Gulfstream 550 that Jack and Sarah had all to themselves, attended by a lone flight attendant. The young attendant explained that they had a choice of four separate living areas, each with his own climate control. There was a wireless broadband network and satellite communication should they require it. Abundant sunlight streamed through the 14 oval windows, illuminating the deep leather seats, each with its own DVD player. With brawny Rolls-Royce turbofan engines, this flying carpet had a range of 6,750 nautical miles nonstop and flew at 51,000 feet. Jack and Sarah just wanted a shower and change. There were a stack of boxes from Harrods on board. Jack slipped into slacks, a button-down shirt, and a black blazer. Sarah snuggled into a pantsuit. Jack was pleased that he'd guessed right when he gave the senator her size. She looked like a runway model, only more radiant. Unlike commercial aircraft, the air was 100% fresh. The sound levels were extremely low, and no sooner had they sat opposite one another on the sofas in the rear cabin than they were asleep. They slept for more than half the flight, then enjoyed a leisurely meal from one of London's best restaurants. The ultra-long-range jet took them directly to a private terminal adjacent to San Francisco International. They arrived in the late afternoon and found the limousine waiting for them at the bottom of the steps, a chauffeur standing with the rear passenger door open. "Welcome back, Mr. Hatfield. Senator Wickham is looking forward to seeing you." And so they get in the car, and Jack looked at Sarah, then glanced into the rear of the limo. "He's not here." "He had another engagement," the driver said. "You'll be meeting him there." "Where?" The driver smiled. "At the dog show."
Savage.